Well, good morning. We are going to be in the book of Hosea today. If you want to start heading there, we're going to be in chapter 14. We are wrapping up the series on Hosea today. We've preached the last several weeks going through it, and if you missed any of those, you can catch those on our website and listen to those or re-listen to those. Here at the end of Hosea, Hosea is going to end with the idea and the theme of hope. There's hope. There's hope for Israel. There's hope for them to come back. God is making a way. He's creating an avenue for them to return to Him if they will just leave their ways behind and follow Him. So we're here on the end of our third lawsuit topic, if you will. God has dealt with them when it comes to their lack of knowledge of Him. He's dealt with them when it comes to them trying to hide their sin from Him. And now He is talking to them about their deceit and lying in their daily lives around others and in their worship toward Him. And I hope you've noticed that throughout this series, all of these actions, lack of knowledge, hiding your sin, and lying, all affect worship. In that you cannot live a life where you don't know God, where you try to hide your sin and where you're deceitful and it not affect the worship that you have. And so be aware of that what you do throughout your life, throughout your day, you bring that with you when you come to worship. And God is not very pleased with Israel, and I'm afraid God is often not pleased with us because of the life we live outside of these four walls. And so God is giving them hope nevertheless. He's saying, will you come back to me? And you've probably noticed this cycle that God names the sin, God tells them there's going to be punishment, and then He offers them hope and says, you can come back. And He's done that three times, and so now is the time for a plea with them to come home, to come back to Him, to give them some hope. And the people can choose to confess. They can choose to repent. I'm going to use that word a lot today, so let me define that for you. Repenting is a word that means to turn, to begin to turn from our actions, begin to turn from what we do, and it starts with a decision. It comes from the inside. I'm going to stop doing what I'm doing. And it literally meant that you're going one direction. So you have to make a decision. I'm going to stop that and I'm going to turn and go a different direction. And God is calling the people to repent. Repent from your lies. Repent from your deceit. Repent from your false worship. Repent from all these things. Stop doing those and turn back to Him. And so the people can choose to confess, they can choose to repent, and God can forgive. And that is the message for you today, that you are going one direction, and if that direction is away from God, you can choose to confess and repent, and God will forgive you. So today I want you to choose the way that is of repentance in life rather than a way of rebellion and death. We continue to live in rebellion. It will result in our destruction. It will result in our death. And so let's read Hosea chapter 14 together. Hosea preaches his last sermon. He says, Israel, return to Yahweh your God, for you have stumbled in your sin. Take words of repentance with you and return to the Lord. Say to Him, forgive all our sin and accept what is good, so that we may repay you with praise from our lips. Assyria will not save us. We will not ride on horses, and we will no longer proclaim our gods to the work of our hands. For the fatherless receives compassion in you. I will hear their apostasy. I will freely love them, for my anger will have turned from him. I will be like the dew to Israel. He will blossom like the lily and take root like the cedars of Lebanon. His new branches will spread, and his splendor will be like the olive tree. His fragrance like the forest of Lebanon. The people will return and live beneath his shade. They will grow grain and blossom like the vine. His renown will be like the wine of Lebanon. Ephraim, why should I have anything more to do with idols? It is I who answer and watch over him. I am like a flourishing pine tree. Your fruit comes from me. Let whoever is wise understand these things, and whoever is insightful recognize them. For the ways of the Lord are right, and the righteous walk in them, but the rebellious stumble in them. This morning, I want to give you 3 points. I want to give you 3 truths that we find in this text that are simple. They are basic, but they are very true. The first one is that God calls us for repentance. God calls us. God comes after us and says, "Will you repent?" And God's message is not hopeless. It's not death or disaster. Rather, God wants to give life, and he wants to give blessing to his people. The only way, though, is if they repent and deal with their sin. Too many of us have this concept of God as saying, look, God, just fix it and just forget about it, and let's not think about that anymore. And what happens when you ignore something that is bad? What happens when you ignore a wound? What happens when you ignore things that should be dealt with? They tend to fester. And they grow. We can't just ignore them. And God says, will you repent? Will you deal with that stuff that's in your life? Admit it's there. Change your heart, change your mind, and come back after me. And when you do that, your life will be changed. Your life will be different. And Hosea pleads with them, will you repent? Will you turn away from your sin and turn back to God? And like Hosea, I'm here before you today with the same message. Stop pursuing all the things that you think will get you happiness. Stop pursuing all of these things that you make. Stop going after all of these things that take you away from God. Turn, repent, come back to him. Sin has brought their downfall. I mentioned this before, and it's been 180 years since Israel first set up the idol, since they split with the south, since they became their own nation, and they set up these idols there in Jerusalem, not Jerusalem, excuse me, in the northern part of Israel at Bethel and at Dan, and they have just gone downhill from there. There have been some good kings, there have been some bright spots, but all in all, Israel has just continued on in their sin. They've continued to follow idols, they've continued to have their own resolve. They continued to just trust in their own abilities, giving themselves credit or giving these foreign gods credit or giving their leadership credit. All the while, God is saying, I am the one who has done everything for you. And over again, God has sent prophets, God has sent messengers and said, turn back, turn back, turn back. And they don't. They continue to follow their own passions, their own desires, and it will be their downfall. I don't know how long Hosea preached. I'm pretty sure that he didn't stand before the people and preach all of Hosea to them at one time. I'm pretty sure he came back. It may have been over years. It may have been over months. We don't know how long Hosea's preaching in that we have collected in the book of Hosea. But we know that 30 years before Hosea, or 30 years after Hosea begins to preach, Israel will be destroyed because they refuse to repent. They refuse to change. They refuse to follow God. They refuse to worship him the way he deserves to be worshiped. They refuse to do what God has told them over and over again. And God has given them hope. He's given them the way out. He's given them opportunity after opportunity to come back to them, to him. And they've not. He's even said, this is how you should pray. You should confess your sin, you should reject your past deceptive faith, and you should recognize that your hope is only in God. And I would say it to you and me, reject your sin, confess your sin, and know that your hope is only in God. Will they accept God's grace? Will they be accountable for their sin, or will they do what they want? Sadly, we know the results for Israel. Israel did what they wanted. Assyria comes in and utterly destroys them. But the question is for you. Your story is not finished being written yet. Your life does not have to end in destruction. You can confess your sin. You can recognize what you've done, and you can follow after God. You've got to find that there's hope only in God. There's only hope that we can have life is in that's found in him alone. He loves a helpless and an undeserving people. And that's what we are. We are helpless and undeserving, yet he loves us anyway. And the only way to come to God is through repentance. The only way to come to God is through this changing of following our own desires, following our own passions, following our own needs, and saying, God, I'm going to follow you. We see this in the Old Testament. We see it in the New Testament. Here in Hosea, it's obvious. Stop following your own will and follow God's. Also, if you read passages such as Psalms 51, you see that David is pouring out his heart before God, and he tells God, you don't want bulls. You don't want sacrifice. You want a broken and contrite heart. You don't want me to give you things. There's no sacrifice that will fix this. You want me to change. You go to the New Testament, you hear guys like John the Baptist preaching repentance. Repent. Jesus comes preaching, repent. Turn from your own way and go to him. So many of us follow our own path. We follow our own path in every aspect of our life. And we don't follow him. But you need to understand something. Repentance precedes forgiveness. Repentance precedes forgiveness. You have to repent before you get forgiveness. Otherwise, you're not even wanting forgiveness. You're just saying, you know what? I'm going to do my own thing. I'm going to keep at this. You just tell me that you're okay with it. You just say, you know what, Joshua? You know, you can keep sinning, and I'm okay with that. That's not what God does. There must be a change of heart. There must be a change so that we can have this repentance. We've got to confess and say, God, this is what I've done wrong. The only way we can do that is because God loves us first. The only reason I can come to God is because he's first loved me. God's love makes repentance possible. Repentance is a gift. Without repentance, there is no way we can know God. Without changing the direction of our life, there's no way we can come back to Him. Without repentance, you cannot have any relationship with God. And God's immense love allows for repentance. God chooses to love sinful people. God chooses to love a sinful me. And He calls us to repentance by His love. Is God calling you today? Is He calling you to repentance? Is He showing you in your life where you are not following Him, where you're doing things in your own strength, in your own ability, in your own way? And His love calls out to you, repent. Repent. I want to forgive you. I want to change your life. But you've got to repent. You've got to turn. And when we repent, restoration is possible. The next thing we see is that where repentance comes, this restoration. Think about it in your own life. When you have this fight with a friend, maybe your spouse, and you go at one another, you cannot make things better until one of you or both of you say, "I was wrong." You cannot have a restoration of the relationship. It cannot come back together until one of you say, "I was wrong." Now, you can ignore it for a while. You can get on like life was just, like it never happened. But I promise you, that will come back. You let that just sink into you and become bitterness. It will come out eventually. Without repentance, there can be no true restoration. And what God is saying, will you come back to me? Will you repent? Will you change from where you're going? Come back to me, and I will restore the relationship that I have for us. God told them what to pray. God told them how to do it. And the sad thing is, we don't know how many actually did. I'm sure some did. I'm sure the message of Hosea was able to penetrate some of the people, and that some of them were able to return to God and have this restoration, but we don't know. We know it wasn't on a wide scale. But we know this, God has offered it. God says, if you come to me, I will respond to that. If you repent, God will respond. And sin is dealt with. And once that sin gets dealt with, God is able to bless His people. And Israel doesn't deal with their sin. Israel doesn't deal with their lack of knowledge of Him. They don't deal with their half-hearted worship. They don't deal with hiding their sin. They don't deal with their deceit. And they are not blessed. They end up cursed. And God says, if you come back to me, I'm gonna bless you beyond measure. I'll be like the dew in the morning that waters the lilies. I'll be the water that grows the forest of Lebanon. I will make you like a fragrant smell to the nations around you. I will bless your socks off if you just follow me. And when we follow God, we may not have the kind of blessings we hope we have. It may not be the kind of success we think we want. But the greatest blessing that God can give us is the restoration of that relationship and walking alongside us every day of our life. You repent, God restores. But here's the thing, repentance is up to you. God will never force you to repent. It's up to you. How will you choose? How will you choose? God allows us to choose. In this last final verse, in the final verse of the whole book of Hosea, God is saying, it's up to you. What do you choose? Do you choose blessings or do you choose curses? Do you choose to follow me or do you choose your own path? Do you choose to make me your God or will you follow the Assyrians to destruction? It's up to you. And the same thing is here today. It's in your court. Will you follow God or follow your own way? Will you have a restored relationship or will you continue to have a broken relationship? Will you worship God or will you worship yourself? Will you have eternal life or will you end up in destruction? And just as God tells Israel, the ball's in your court, the choice is up to you, choose wisely, I tell you today, the ball's in your court. You can choose to repent and follow him, or you could choose to go after your own desires. You can choose to continue in your lack of knowledge of God. You can choose to say, I'm not going to read my Bible. I'm not going to get plugged in a small group. I'm not going to get to know and have community with other believers. I'm not going to do that. Instead, I'm just going to go around and creating my concept of God that I want him to be. You can go on hiding sin just as Israel did and say, you know what? I'm just going to be half-hearted in what I do. I'm going to try to hide this sin that I'm doing, or you can confess it and repent. You can live a life of deceit, proclaiming how great of a person that you are, in reality, not really caring about others. You could treat them harshly. Israel was using false weights, where they would weigh out some good, maybe oil or wool, and they were cheating people out of it. And God called them on their sin. Or you can repent and have a restored relationship. I think the message for us today is don't follow Israel's example. Instead, act wisely. Don't follow them. Don't ignore the message. Don't just say, oh, that's another Sunday. Oh, that was just another time that I went to church. No, no, no. Don't ignore the message. Act wisely. Proverbs tells us that only a fool chooses to reject God's way and scoff at his justice. It also tells us that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Choose wisely. Have wisdom. Fear the Lord. Don't follow Israel's example. Don't hear the truth and be unmoved. Don't hear God's word and say, oh, that's for someone else. Oh, I wish so-and-so was here to hear that. Oh, I wish I would have invited X, Y, or Z. This message is for you because you are here today. What will you do with it? You cannot rebelliously reject God's way and be righteous. We act that way. God, I'm going to do my own thing, but I'm good. God, I'm gonna obey the rules that I want to obey, and I'm going to check off the boxes I want to check off, and I will be righteous. You cannot rebelliously reject God and be righteous. You cannot be wise and continue to refuse to God's will. You can't do it. You can't be wise and follow your own way. So the path is before you. What will you do? How will you proceed? Will you follow God? Will you repent? Will you turn? Say, I can't keep doing this and follow him instead? Will you come back to him and have restoration? Or will you continue to live a life void of God, void of his blessing? Choice is up to you. The ball's in your court. There's hope for us. There's hope for us who rebel. There's hope for us who have sinned. There's hope for us because there's the cross. There's hope for us because God knew that we could not come to him on our own. He knew that he needed to correct the relationship. He knew that there was no sacrifice that we can give that would make things right. So Jesus came, became human. God himself put on human flesh. Taught us about God. Performed miracles to prove that he was God. And he gave his life. 3 days later, he rose again, proving not only that he was God, but proving that he had victory over death in the grave. Will you repent and come back to that God? Oftentimes we don't repent because we think we could do it better. We think we know better for our own lives. God, I can direct my life better. We think we're self-sufficient. We think we're self-directed. We're self-motivated. We're self-assured. But when trouble comes, we don't know how to cope. There's nothing we can do. We fall to pieces. But know this, Jesus is sufficient. He's enough. He's all you need. When life gets hard, when times get tough, when you walk through trials, when you pray, God, where are you? Jesus is enough. I know that. He's enough. He's sufficient. He's all we need. His grace is enough for us. Will you respond to God? Will you stand and do business with God? Will you stand and whatever God has showed you, taught you in this, some of you need to repent and come back to him. Have this restoration in your relationship. Stop following your own desires. Stop following your own passions and follow him alone. If you want to pray with me, I would love to pray with you. If you want to pray at the altar, it's available to you always. Choose wisely.